Good morning.
Morning.
Good to be here today. How many of you did you wake up late today? I did. Because of the rain. Thanks be to God for this beautiful morning that God has given us, one more day to live in this world. It is all God's gift, and it's not because of our merits, only because of God's grace that we are alive. So let us be thankful for everything that we have in our lives. And thank you for joining us here today in this church and also online. Welcome, those of you are online. And let us worship God together with the opportunities that God has given us to do. The announcements are on the second page in the bulletin if you want to follow that. Those are the regular announcements that we have. The food bank ministry continues. And the books are available. It will also help our mission work. And our third Thursday luncheon will be in November now, November 20th at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral in Cumming. Please join for a time of fellowship and lunch. And next Sunday, October 26th, will be the last Sunday of the month that we celebrate the blessings of the month. We call it Celebration Sunday, or there will be lunch after service. Please join and for the service and celebrate the blessings of the month. As you have noticed, we have Kenny joined us here today. Welcome, Kenny, back. And Wayne is traveling, and Carol is at home with some home care person, I believe. And let us keep them in our prayers. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us to do in this community at this time of history, to do His work faithfully. We take donations online on our website. Please use those opportunities and facilities that we have electronically online. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any special announcements? I welcome back Bertha here today. Thanks for joining back again. I hope you feel better. And I believe it's your daughter next to you. Okay, please say hi to her and welcome back. If nobody has any special announcements to make, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 62, we will sing verses 1, 4, 5, and 7, All Creatures of Our God and King. Please stand if you are able.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and we will sing. Oh, praise ye, hallelujah. Oh, brother sun with golden beam. Oh, sister moon with silver gleam. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Mother Earth, in the heavenly day, unfold us blessings on our way.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The forest through the lily grow, let the Lord's glory also show.
Father, praise.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name to worship you, Lord. We thank you for redeeming us from our sins by sending your Son Jesus Christ so that we are children of God. We come to you and call you Father. We thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us every day, O God. Even when we have been unfaithful, you have been faithful to us, O God. We thank you for your manifold blessings that you shower upon us. And we also thank you for safely keeping us every day, O God, even when we are not aware of things that are happening around us, dangerous things. You keep us safe in our driving, in our goings, in our comings. And we thank you for your safekeeping. O God, thank you for this blessed time that you have given us to gather in your name to worship you. Help us, Lord, to worship you and glorify you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Bless all of those who have gathered here today and also online. Touch us with your healing hand, those who need healing. Bless us with the power of your Holy Spirit as we worship together. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
The show must go. I took that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll press on here. Oh, that was okay.
Our congregational hymn today is "He Touched Me." If you can sit or stand as you please. It is 367 in the book. It will be also on the screen. Please join us as we sing the special today. Our responsive reading is Psalm 133 and 34, two short psalms. It's on page 850. If you are able, please stand and follow that. Let me put that up on the screen, please.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity.
It is like precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his cross.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord.
Who stand by night in the house of the Lord.
Lift your hands up in the holy place and bless the Lord.
May the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time where we share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive from God. Also, it is our time to bring up our prayers of burdens and concerns, that God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time. If you look at the back of the bulletin, our prayer requests are listed at the back in the boxes listed there. Please remember these people in your prayers, people and items listed there in your prayers regularly.
Pastor, if you can add my mom, Pam.
Pam?
Pam. She's having back surgery on Thursday.
Pam. Your mom? Pam, Lisa's mom is having surgery.
Back surgery.
On Tuesday.
Please keep in a lot of pain for many years, so this is hopefully going to fix that. I'm afraid that it's going to be great.
Pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Ed and Bertolo. Continue to pray for Jerry Raines. And as I mentioned, please pray for Wayne as he's traveling to South Georgia. Pray for Harry Crumlin, Sean and Amy Conway, who are still struggling with their health issues. Please pray for their healing. Above all, pray for peace for them and their families. Pray for our bus drivers and truck drivers. Please pray for them and remember them in our prayers. Pray for the world leaders and world peace, that God will put fear in their hearts, fear of God in their hearts, so that they will make decisions that will bring peace in this world. Also pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks and delivery people and many, many others that serve us on a daily basis. Let us not forget their services. Let us remember them and their families and pray for them, that God will keep them safe during this coming holiday season, especially if it's very difficult for those people. Let us pray for them. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, governors, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives, that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and to make the right decisions, not by worldly wisdom, but divine wisdom that they need during this time to unite our country and make decisions, especially with the shutdown, that they will make a quick solution to the problems that they are facing, and everything will open back soon. That we'll also pray for our leaders for that. Let's pray for our church, that God has given us this opportunity here in this community to do His work. Let us pray that God will give us the faithfulness and all the things that God gives us to use them faithfully to serve other the people who are in need in this community. We also pray for all the churches in coming and around us, and the pastors, leaders, and the mission works that they are doing, and also the world church at large around the world, in many parts of the world, in difficult situations, that people are working to spread the love of Christ to many communities in various parts of the world. Let us remember them in our prayers, that God will strengthen them and empower them with the power of the Holy Spirit as they work there. Those are the regular prayer requests that I wanted to bring up. Anybody have any special prayer requests that you want to bring? And I forgot to mention, my son Timothy Philip was in the hospital last week. He's back home. He's much better now. And he's walking now.
Yeah, he's able to
take his. Yeah, it's not that big deal. He's only 35 years old, so he... He has a long time to live. He'll get better. So please keep him in our prayers. I think I didn't miss any of the other things. So let us go to God in prayer with a silent time in the beginning, and bring out our personal prayers during that time, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come together to lift up our needs of plus our needs and also our blessings to you. We thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. Thank you for the blessings you shower upon us every day. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection as we live out our lives every day in this world. We look up to you for our needs, O God. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good for us, O God. We come before you as your children, trusting in your promise that you will answer our prayers according to your will and your time. Many of us need healing in our bodies, O God, as we have lifted up in praying for many of our dear ones, especially Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry, Carol, Ed and Bartolow, and Jerry Raines. We pray for Pam as she is going for her surgery next week. We pray for Timmy, and we pray for all of those who are struggling with health issues like that. We pray for your special grace upon them. Bless them with your peace above all, O God, and bless their families with your peace. We pray for all of those who are struggling with grief because of the death of their dear ones. We pray that you will comfort them with your presence. Fill them with your peace, O God, the peace that passes all understanding beyond measure. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others, especially during this time of shutdown. We pray that you will guide them with your special wisdom, O God, that they can come to a resolution to the problems that they are facing, that we can open up everything and bring everything back to normal. Bless the president, vice president, governors, and many others who make decisions with your wisdom. Guide them, O God. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us behind the scenes on a daily basis. We pray that you will bless them and their families, particularly the coming holiday season. We thank you for their services and pray for them. We pray for our church. Thank you for this time that you have given us here to do your work in this community faithfully, Lord. Help us, Lord, to use the opportunities that you have given us to serve others, the needy people around us, O God. We pray for all the churches and pastors and leaders around us in this community. We also pray for the World Church at large, the missionaries and many others who preach your word and spread the love of Christ to many, many communities around the world. Empower them with your power of the Holy Spirit that they will, their work will be effective and bring many, many souls to your kingdom because of their work. We thank you again for this time that you have given us here today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. As we meditate on the word, open our hearts. Empower us with your word also, O God, that we can live our lives faithfully to serve the people around us and serve your kingdom. May your name be lifted up in everything we do here, O God. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I will take up the offertory, please.
Stand for the doxology. Multiply it and have it be helpful for anyone that needs it and to service the community and all those in need. So we love you. Thank you for our lives and thank you for everything you do for us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from James chapter 2, verse 8 through 18. If you really keep the royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say,
You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. The word of the Lord, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and the living Word, we come before you to meditate on the Word today, O God. Open our hearts so that we can receive your Word with power and obedience and humility also. Illumine our souls, O God, so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Speak to each and every one of us here today, Lord, according to our needs that you know better than us. Help us, Lord, to practice our faith in all the ways that you give us in this world and the opportunities that you give us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of James that we started a couple of weeks ago, we are in the second chapter. That I told you before that the author James and the author of book of Jude, two brothers, were the half-brothers of Jesus. That's what the historians are saying. And there's another James and Jude that are disciples, but they were the sons of another father, so they are not the same people who wrote this book. It says in the Bible. James, book of James is very much of a practical book. It is called the Proverbs of the New Testament.
The camera I wear.
Oh, thank you. Somehow I keep turning the camera off. Is it okay now? Thank you. So it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament because it has words of wisdom and practical ways that suggesting us to live out our lives, how to live out our faith. Because the Christian faith is not just a belief. It is a practice. A practicing faith. It's not just a professing faith. It is a practicing faith. It is the way of life that Christ has shown us. So in this book, James is teaching us how to practically show our faith every day. And he is very tough in some words that he says that without actions or without deeds that you can show in this world, your faith is meaningless. In other words, our actions make our faith. And if our actions do not reveal what Christ has taught or what Christ has shown, your faith is pretty much counterfeit. You know counterfeit currency? You take it to someplace, they may not look at it, but if you go to a bank, they definitely will catch you. So that's what the counterfeit faith is. We all like to be Christians, but if our faith is not genuine, it is meaningless. Our actions make our faith. It's also our identity as Christians. Every action, every word that we speak portray or reveal to the world who we are. When I was in my corporate job, they used to give us some personality tests occasionally, where we stand. I mean, our personality changes based on our age and circumstances periodically. So regularly, I mean, periodically, they make us take some of the tests. If some of them was an identity wheel. The importance we place on our social identities, our priorities, It also includes our gender, race, economic status, education, religion, our country of origin, age, family structure, and physical ability. And all of these things defined together, many, many other factors also. It's very, sometimes the same question repeats. And then you probably answer the opposite answer the second time because you forgot what you answered the first time. So that's how they catch you, and they come to a conclusion about your personality, who you are. It's a good thing to have, to know how your personality is. But how much of that personality that we socially portray in this world is influenced by the faith that we have? If our social personality is not influenced by our faith, our social personality is counterfeit. That's what James is teaching in this book very, very thoroughly. God's children, under all circumstances, no matter what our social identities are, we are Christians, basically children of God. So that our way of living, our thoughts and our deeds, and our love and care for others will be in the forefront of our life every day. And faith and actions are like fire and heat. Fire produces heat. They go together. You cannot have one without the other. So if we have a fiery faith, there will be some heat that will produce out of that, that the world can feel that warmth. That is what James teaches us. So the counterfeit faith is very much that we need to be aware of. If someone says that he's a Christian and his actions do not support that, it is called a counterfeit faith. Or it's like an engine, a car without a dead engine. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's a beautiful car with like a nice logo or Mercedes-Benz or what is the latest one? Audi, I don't know, the expensive car with a big body, beautiful paint, but the dead engine doesn't get you anywhere. So we may have a beautiful church or a beautiful home, or we dress up nicely and portray ourselves to be beautiful people, but the engine is dead in ourselves without showing that it doesn't get us anywhere. So there are three different types of faith that James talks about in the passage that we read here today. One is a dead faith. He says that even when, if you don't have works that show your faith is dead. Faith that doesn't act is a dead faith, like a dead engine of the car that I told you. Then he talks about a second faith, a faith that we know by knowledge. And he calls it the devil's faith, because the devil knows about God also. We are not the only ones who believe in God. The devil also believes in God because he knows the power of God. That's an intellectual faith. So this is called the devil's faith, because the devil doesn't obey God, but people of God who believe in God will obey God. That's the difference. That's the devil's faith. Then the third faith is a useless faith, idle faith. You have faith, but you just don't live out that, you just don't care about it. So idle or useless faith is ineffective, vain, and empty faith. Because Jesus said, if you are my disciples, by the love that you show to others, will reveal my love to this world. And he also said, you are the salt of the earth. And also you are the light of this world. The salt and light will have some effect on the circumstances or the environments they are in. Why do we add salt to anything? To get that flavor of salt. And also light. Light shines in darkness and bring light and brightness in the surroundings that light is. So light and salt that Jesus told us to be in this world has influence wherever we are. in a society, in a group of people that we interact with, in our families, in our schools, in our jobs, we have to have an influence. And that's important to have that. Genuine faith is not just an idle faith that just looks at outside from the outside, but that is involving faith. You get involved in the problems of this world. It's not blindly sitting and doing nothing. Real and authentic faith acts on reason, and it's using all available opportunities to show our faith in the circumstances that we are in. And he begins that chapter that we didn't read there, saying that do not show partiality to anyone. Genuine faith in Christ will show our love for others without partiality. Because in the times of those churches at that time, they were showing partialities to people. And even now, it is a reality. At that time, it was more the wealthy people who get preference in the church. I sometimes think that happens now too. If somebody like a famous celebrity or a rich man accepts Christ, it becomes a big news. But an ordinary person, a poor person accepts Christ, it's not a big news. It's naturally it becomes because the world gets attention to the wealthy and the rich and the famous. But when it comes to church, we are all children of God together, regarding of you are wealthy or famous or rich or poor. Regardless of your background, we are all children of God, redeemed by the grace of God. Some of them have a very bad past, and some of us may not have that kind of past. But God has cleansed all of that through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And he made all of us righteous in front of him. That is one of the things that I like with our Holy Communion or the Lord's Table. It's the big equalizer. Regardless of your height or weight or color or fame or rich, it doesn't matter. When you come to this table, we are all one people. People of God, children of God. That is what Christianity is all about. We are all one, so do not show partiality based on anything, and because that was a big problem in the churches at that time. James tells that the showing partiality also, they had issues with, based on appearance. How many times that we judge people on appearance? Sometimes, you know, I'm guilty too on that. Somebody's way of dressing. Or somebody has a little mark on their skin or something. Oh, he may not be a Christian. How do we know? I'm guilty on that too. But we are not to show judgment on people based on appearance. I read a story about a bishop who took a travel in a ship. So when he went to he had a cabin mate, and he didn't look right. So Bishop Porter thought he was not a good person or something, so he took all his valuables to the front desk, to the reception area of the ship, and gave it to them and told them to keep this valuable in a safe place because he didn't feel comfortable with the way his cabin mate looked. And the office clerk took it and told him, before you came, your fellow passenger came here before and did the same thing with his valuables to keep it here. That happens to us even when we do not know. We cannot judge people based on appearance or wealth or any worldly things like that, because God looks at them as he looks at me, or each of us is looked as his child, his children here. Sometimes we think that we give to God because we have money or wealth that God has given us, but we are only giving back to God what he has given us from. If he hadn't given us anything, we could not have anything to give back. So he's saying that we give things to God. It is the other way around. God gives us things and we give a portion of that back to him. God doesn't want your money because he has all the riches in this world. So rather than helping those who help themselves, God seems to be bending towards the people who do not or cannot help themselves. It's a common saying that God helps those who help themselves. You have heard that. But that's not really true. God helps them, those who cannot help themselves. That's you and me. We know that we cannot help ourselves. Especially when it comes to freedom from sin and death, there is nothing we can do in this world. Only God can free us from the bondage of sin and death. And it comes from, and it goes and applies to all the things in this world. The John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said that, "Let us not measure men, much less ourselves, by gifts or service that they provide. One grain of grace is worth abundance of gifts." To look at others with the grace that God looks at us. So we have to be gracious when we look at other people. So real faith also acts in compassion to fellow human beings. They know the right, we know the right words, and we attend church, and we know how to pray. I know how to preach, and some of us know how to sing. These are all good things. But James says that those things alone are not enough. If you see a brother or sister without clothes or food and say, "Go in peace, be warm and filled," but you don't do anything to help, what good is that for your faith? That's very important. We can all say and preach about a lot of things. But when it comes to tending to the needs of people, stepping into their shoes, that is what James is teaching about our faith that we need to pay attention to. One of the previous churches that we attended, there was a girl who used to come to our church with an oversized jacket. And we see them and we just ignored it. Many people ignored it. And many people probably judged her also, you know, why can't she get a better jacket that fits her size? But one of the ladies in the church, Barbara, went and sat with that girl one day and started talking to her. And she found out that the family was a poor family, and that they had only one or two jackets in the whole family, so they take turns. That's how she got that jacket. After the service, one Sunday, Barbara took that girl out to Walmart and brought some clothes and jackets and all that stuff and took her girl to her house. She found out that there is an empty refrigerator, no food in the house, with five children and a mother. And a mother is mentally challenged. And the dad was at work. And he was working multiple jobs to support the family. So this is all the things that happened with that little girl sitting there with their oversized jacket. Many ignored, including me. We walked by her, and many children did not even want to sit beside her. But as Christians, our eyes and our hearts have to go beyond the appearance. People need it. That is what Christian faith is all about. It is easy to ignore and move on, or make judgments and refuse to act. Eventually, the church adopted that family. Christ wants us to be doers and not just believers only. And now we know that our salvation is not based on any work. That's what the Bible teaches us. We are saved by grace only. Not by words. So our works are not for our salvation, but our works are an expression of our salvation. If you are saved, you will show that in your deeds and your love for other people. Sometimes I feel like we are a society that is more compassionate to trees and animals than human beings. With the way we spend money on preserving trees, and they're all good things, we need to do those things. And the money that we spend on our pets and animals, I'm not saying that. Forgive me if I'm politically incorrect. Because I know my son spent a few $1,000s for a surgery for a dog. I'm not saying that he was wrong or anything. He loves that dog, especially. But how many people in front of us go to bed daily without food, without clothing? And when you're spending thousands of dollars on preserving trees, we need to be checking ourselves on that. A rabbi from Israel traveled to Rome and wrote something. And it caught my attention. Rome is a place where you have all these big, beautiful buildings and statues and all of those that they preserve from ancient times, and they take care of them, and they are very good to see. So when he went around and looked at all of those, are very beautiful. But in winter, some of those statues and pillars that they have outside there, they cover that with expensive blankets, because the frost might affect the stones. So when he saw that, and he walked around and he saw a few people, homeless people, actually beside them with no clothes and no jackets. So he took some of those blankets and gave them to these people, and he got arrested. So he wrote like this: here is a man created in the image of God, covered with no clothes, and a civilization that pays more attention to the statues and stones than to people that are really in need. That's what our society and our world is going through. Real faith is shown by our actions and the care for other people. And he talks about Abraham and Rahab, who was a prostitute, about how their works revealed their faith in God. Abraham was called, you know that, God asked him to go and sacrifice his own son. But he did and obeyed, because he believed in God. His faith was expressed in his action. He was not saved by the action, but he was saved by the faith that he showed in his action. Rahab was a prostitute. No part of the kingdom of God. But she acted by protecting the saints of God in a dangerous time, one time when their lives were at danger. She gave them shelter. It's a history in the Bible. Even though she was a prostitute, because she believed in a living God, and she knew that she had to protect the people of God. So she hid them in her house. So these two people, in their actions, displayed their faith in God, and that's what their salvation is about. It's not their works that made them saved, but it is their faith in God that produced that actions. Even though sometimes we think that these are contradictory to each other by grace and works, but without grace there's no work, and without works there's no grace. Real faith shows the work in love. Real faith is also forgiving. We have to forgive each other, regardless of whose fault it is. We are all human beings. There is a flower in Africa that I read about, that when you step on it, you will feel the fragrance. Otherwise, you don't see anything. It's a beautiful flower. It's on the floor. So whenever we get stressed out or stepped on, that's when our aroma comes out as Christians. That's when we produce the aroma of Christ. And lastly, he talks about the saving faith. Abraham was justified by works, a faith that saves souls. The faith, a real faith or genuine faith, will change the lives of people. Trust God, and that faith alone will be reckoned as righteousness. James says that faith without a corresponding change of life, without a transformation, without something to produce to this world, has no evidence that you have faith. And therefore, it is not real faith. The point then that is he's making very clear, Non-saving, dead, lifeless faith is known by the absence of our righteous deeds. As Christians, we are always to be reminded of the fact that our actions and our deeds have to reveal the love of Christ every day. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place, so that we can be genuine faith producers, fruit producers, showing the love and care and compassion of the people around us, to the needy people around us, for a dying world around us. Amen. The closing hymn is I Am Thine, O Lord, 419. If you are able, please stand. People of God, God has given us a precious faith. The precious faith has to be shown in our deeds and actions every day. And when the world looks at us, they will know that we are disciples of Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, now and forevermore. Amen.